You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we have an interesting show. We have a couple of special guests. Let's introduce the guests first. Off to my left over here, we have Alfredo.
Hello. Battistini.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
And on the other side here, we have Irene Golnick and Jessica Golnick.
Good evening.
And tonight we're going to be talking about... Goals and relationships, whether you're in a relationship, looking to be in a relationship, or having struggles in a relationship. These are some of the things that may be helpful, or at least ideas that our guests have about
some
those
challenge
items.
About that.
Challenge. Yeah. So you want to start off with a question, and who are you going to ask the question to?
Okay, maybe I can start with Alfredo.
Okay.
So Alfredo, what did you think about established goal in the relationship?
I feel like it's good to have an established goal in a relationship, but you really have to make sure to include your partner in those goals. That way you can both work together to achieve that goal. Otherwise, it would be like two people doing different separate things going on with their own lives and, well, kind of on parallel, you know?
Yeah. So what happened when your goal is different than your partner's goal?
Then you can see that there are... some issues that can pop up, that and that if you have different goals, then they can conflict with each other and it can cause some issues down the line. And let's say one person is pursuing their goal a lot more than the other one, then that can make the other person feel like they're kind of being left behind or, you know, just kind of put a wedge in the relationship as they both try to look for their goals and go in life in different directions.
What are you thinking?
I think one of the ideas that I had, or what I was listening to when Alfredo was talking, is so people can be pursuing goals and they can be pursuing different goals, but if both people in that relationship know what those goals are and are supportive of each other's goals, so it's like shared, even they're different goals, they're shared goals because you've shared them, that may help each other achieve their goals quicker and feel the support of the other through that.
Okay, but I guess the key has to be how clear is your communication between the couple, because sometimes you feel scared to communicate your goal or you feel that your goal is different than your partner. You assume a lot of stuff versus that you maybe have a open, clear conversation and say, hey, this is what I have. You can go with me in some way. So, Jessica, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, totally. I think a lot of times people, like, communication is always absolutely necessary, but in terms of having a goal for a relationship, because some people just want, like, a summer fling, which I totally don't understand, but that's why you talk about it, because some people are looking to date and marry and find their life partner, and other people are like, I just kind of want to shop around and have fun.
Because some are flings,
some are
relationships.
Yeah.
Keep going on that subject, though.
I want to hear Irene, so maybe Irene has some ideas about that.
Going off the communication thing, don't expect a person to be a mind reader ever. You may want your partner to immediately know what is going on in your mind, so maybe you'll get frustrated, and they're like, why aren't they understanding my feelings? I'm feeling stressed, I'm feeling this way. But in reality, you need to tell them, explain maybe this is why this is affecting my mood, instead of just
assuming,
bringing off your emotions onto them. I think that's an important part.
So you're thinking that sometimes some people don't communicate what they're thinking,
yes.
or the other doesn't ask them about, hey, what's going on, and why are you, like, if you're overly sad or overly happy, they're not asking you what's going on in your mind?
Right. Yes. That's part of it.
So what should they do?
Well, just if you notice something is off, you could always ask, I notice you've been this way in your day. Is something wrong? Has something happened? Instead of immediately saying, there's the other way around, like you said, like, maybe I could assume I did something wrong immediately because the other person is being emotional, but maybe something just else in their day affected the way they're
mm-hmm.
feeling.
Mm. Yeah. So when you're in front of that person, you may be able to see these things quite readily, but what happens if you're, like, in a long-distance relationship? How can you tell how the other person is feeling? As I turn to Alfredo here.
I feel called out.
Yeah, you're right. So when somebody's not in front of you as often as they were, how difficult is it, and what do you do to overcome maybe challenges in understanding how they're feeling about something?
Well, first, like, I would just say, just ask and try to see how their mood is. Maybe try keeping good communication. Like, if you have their social media of the other person, you can see, like, hey, like, what how's their day going? If they're posting, they're giving you updates. But if there's, like, nothing there that you can see, just simply just asking and trying to be honest with each other.
Mm.
And yes, there are the times, like, people will not be fully honest, but if you really know your partner, you can try to figure out, hey, maybe there's something else going on. Maybe there's something here. And you can choose to try to either ask about it, or, like, if it's not a big deal, maybe just let it slide. Like, see how the person is the next day, because it could just be that bad day. They stub their toe in the morning, mm. and, like, they don't want to talk to anyone. So, like, it just, like, a kind of case by case, but, like, in the end, the important part is just keep communication open, talk to each other. If you notice something, definitely ask the other person.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, I think I just was going to write down a note here, which I don't have paper in front of me right now, but this is okay. But this I'll call the stub the toe defense, which is that if you are in a relationship and you are relatively openly communicating with somebody, that you should be sharing what's going on, except for the stub the toe, which is maybe something that is a out of the ordinary situation that... and I'm calling out now the two Golnick girls on this. Is so when is there a situation that you would say, okay, now I understand why the person didn't get back to me?
I mean, it could be anything. I think especially if it's something that's meaningful to that person, it's important to be understanding, because something that's a small deal to you could be huge to them. So I don't think it's necessarily, like, what you deem as understandable, but just being understanding in general. And if it becomes a problem more regularly, where they're having those days and not communicating with you, then it's something deeper to explore. But I think in general, even if it's something you can't understand, doesn't mean it's not, like, permissive.
Okay. So mm-hmm. so a difference between a stub the toe day and a stub every single toe on the foot week, where now they're not talking to you and not communicating, that if it becomes a habit... Oh, this thing happened to me today. That's why I didn't get back to you. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you yesterday because this thing happened to me.
Yeah.
Then you're feeling maybe, maybe I'll ask this to Irene. If someone isn't getting back to you and sharing with you, do you feel cut off?
I think mostly if it's through a text and you don't know exactly what is the context of their text, maybe it's better to call them at that point. They don't get right back to you, just, you know, give it a few minutes, give it maybe a couple hours, maybe they're just going through their own thing right now, you know? But most of the time, don't worry unless it's, like, a day-to-day occurrence. Another thing you're saying is when to worry about when somebody is being alone. I think it's important to tell your partner about your boundaries of what is important to you, like... For me, like, I've said, like, oh yeah, I'm going to want alone time once in a while just to relax, be by myself. Like, it's nothing
like, I don't, it's not that I don't want to be around you, I love you, but, like, mm-hmm. it's just sometimes I need a few minutes, so I'll be, like, in the room chilling, just mm-hmm. on my phone or whatever, and that, you need to allow the same thing for your partner, like, maybe they need a few minutes to, I don't know, maybe they want to go take a shower by themselves, even that, something that small is, like, very important, just explain your boundaries of what you need.
Okay, so communication time and alone time, yeah. Non-communication.
Exactly. No, and also the part of the communication, I know when you have some kind of problem with your partner, maybe the emotion show up and you start to make up, maybe do a wrong, I say wrong communication in the way they feel more empathy versus sympathy. You know, the concept, you know, so sometimes empathy is mean put in the shoes the other person versus say, oh, you don't know how I feel because I feel like that versus this ask, what do you feel? You know what I mean?
Okay. So we're going to end this segment, this first original segment, with a question now moving on over to Alfredo, which is empathy versus sympathy. What's your definition of empathy versus sympathy?
And so empathy is like seeing, you see somebody else in pain and you say, oh no, I understand your pain.
Okay.
And you try to be there for them. Sympathy would be, I see you're in pain, let me help you out. I understand you're in pain. But even though I may not be feeling it or like fully grasping it, I know there's something else with you and I should be there for you.
So that actually sounded kind of similar, and I'm gonna let's work through that and see if we agree with what you said.
So, very much what like the difference like empathy, it's about fully understanding the other person and feeling it.
Okay.
Sympathies, you may not understand, but you know they are going through something, and
so
you want
100%.
To help them out.
So I'm gonna end it with this, which is when you send somebody a sympathy card, right? You send them a sympathy card. Oh, I heard you were sick. I hope you get better soon. I'm going to say a prayer for you. Where you're not fully understanding what's going on, where that empathy part may be is, wow, I hear that this is going on in your life. How's that affecting you and your family?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting more deep into feeling how they feel rather than just feeling sorry for how they feel.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. That's the point.
So. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I would say like empathy is feeling how they feel, sympathy, understanding how they feel.
Mm-hmm. That's the definition technically.
Is it?
If we want to get technical, yeah that's my, because people are always like, oh, I'm so empathetic. But they just really mean they understand how people feel and can understand their emotions.
Okay.
I'm always like, no. Empathetic is really having a deep understanding or having been through something yourself, so you actually have been in their shoes and you can really relate. Or also even just like understanding it on a deeper level.
Okay.
Like Alfredo said, and you said, sympathy is really just that. Yeah, I'm sorry, that does. I can acknowledge that that sucks what you're going through.
Sure.
But the empathy is like, oh, you get it.
get
it.
So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to a break on 90 Day Soulmate. And when we come back, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about empathy.
And
sympathy.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm trying to say here?
A little bit.
All right.
I feel sympathy now.
All right. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God.
Welcome back to, where are we? 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And Alfredo and Jessica and Irene. Anyway, what we were talking about earlier was goals. And we moved on into empathy and sympathy. And we're going to continue on with the empathy and sympathy and then try to wrap back up into where we started.
We try.
We'll try. So, Irene, during break, you had made a comment about empathy and sympathy, and what did you say, and if you can expand upon what you were saying.
I was saying that basically I believe in empathy. It's that you want to see the healing process of somebody when you know what they're going through because you know the steps of what they have to go through. And sympathy is more like you've seen it, you haven't felt it, you don't really know what it's like, but maybe you send a regret or you can say, oh, I'm sorry for you, but you're not really engaged or connected in the process of what they're going through.
So are you saying like helping walk through the healing process with them because you actually have been through it before, or you're what do you mean by walk through the healing process?
You could have walked through it, or you can feel for them more so that you could almost feel what they feel and you don't want them to feel it anymore because you see how much they're suffering. So you want to stop this feeling. You want to go through this with them, and you know, you feel that empathy and you try to help them.
Okay.
Can I expand?
Yes, you may. Expand away.
Let's see. Expand away. What you said about, I just lost it.
Okay. This is sympathy. This is the example of sympathy.
No, about having a deeper understanding.
Okay.
That's what's gonna help, because you, like, walking through the process, you're gonna be able to do when you really understand and feel what they're going through.
So how do we more so empathize with somebody? Empathize? I always say it wrong. But how do we more so do that than just sympathize?
Asking more questions, engaging them, trying to understand the reasoning, the root causes of the situation, saying, okay, well, what happened? How did that make you feel? Why did these feelings come up? Does it trigger some other feelings? Did those come from some other feelings? And really understanding the deeper, basically just having a deeper understanding of the situation instead of a surface level, like, oh man, that's a bad situation, but you have all, like, the stems, all the roots.
Okay.
Think of it as a tree, pretty much.
I'm hearing Alfredo over here, and I think Alfredo might want to chime in. Do you see any parallel between this and the root cause analysis of the five whys?
What?
In business world, when you have it, when there's a situation that's going on, a problem, you're like, well, why, and why, and why?
Yeah. Kinda. More I wanted to say was like a bit of like on the empathy side of things that I forgot. I lost it. Oh my god! I had a good thought.
We'll be back to that.
But are you talking about the root cause? This is part of my job every week when I audit a company, and the point that people do answer or try to do the solution for this, like the Jessica say, is just to suffice, what is it called?
The surface
of the situation. Because the people say, oh, of course I know what happened, so I don't have to go deep. I'm fixing, and we start to fixing relationship versus go deep and say, hey, stop. We have to thinking sometimes. Looks like obvious, but it's not obvious. So it's why this happened, why I feel like that. What is something? Why I feel headache today? Why I have a problem in my stomach? If something happened, because maybe the emotion in the situation is bother you.
So, Jess, you were saying something a little bit earlier about having gone through something, and before having gone through it yourself, not being able to have the empathy that you now have.
Yeah, would you like me to explain my story?
Would you please?
Yeah, of course. So up until I was about 16 years old, I had never experienced grief or someone in my life passing away. So when I had friends or family who had people pass away, it was that surface level of, I understand that that is a sad thing, so I'm sorry that that happened. So I would, you know, give out my condolences, sympathies, I'm so sorry that happened. It wasn't until I had someone pass away in my life and I could really understand that grief and feel it personally, understand what that's like from my own perspective, that I could better understand their perspective of it. So I think experiencing things helps in terms of empathy, which I know experiencing, like, having sympathy for someone is basing it off of your own experiences, so it sounds a little backwards to describe it that way, but I think having experienced something yourself can make you a more empathetic person in general.
Yeah, so, and also maybe you can have no knowledge about one topic, because maybe using the same example, you don't know somebody in your family die or have this kind of issue, but the be connecting with the other person make a good way to try to create empathy in the relationship. And try to understand, I go back to our original topic about goal. When you are empathy with your partner, maybe it's more easy to set up the goal in the relationship.
Okay. So, did you
yes.
come back with you? Oh, you do? Okay. All right, all right, let's go.
So, pretty much what I wanted to say is that, like, to really, like, understand empathy and, like, what it is, it's that, like, you have to feel empathy, I mean, for another person, you have to kind of get rid of a lot of the self in your own life and, like, really, like, understand, like, this other person, like, that may be, that experience could be very big and important for them, and, like, that you have to understand that in their mind, like, they are the most important the same way that you are the most important in your mind, that, like, their lives, experiences, feelings are just as valid in their life for them that as your feelings in your life for you. So I feel like a big thing is that, like, we kind of desensitize that part and other people a lot, just because, like, the nature of, like, how things are right now, like, things get stressful, the news, there's, like, so many people we don't see, so, like, it's very easy to just, like, write off a person as, like, oh, it's just someone, without, like, really, like, thinking, like, hey, like, that person, like, maybe they have a family just like mine. When they go home, like, they love playing with their dog the same way I love playing with my dog.
Okay.
So I feel like a big part of the empathy is, like, being able to kind of really put yourself in the mind of somebody else, in the shoes of somebody else, and think like they do, and understand how their feelings are important for them as your feelings are as important to you.
Okay.
Well, like, for sympathy, I feel like it's a bit more superficial in that, like, you're kind of, you don't know they're in a bad spot, but you want to help them out. Like, you're kind of feeling for them, but you're not feeling them.
Okay. So,
yeah.
That's why there are sympathy cards and not empathy cards.
Yeah.
You can't write a card of empathy, because it's basically a distancing communication. It's like you want to express something yourself, like, I'm sad for you, but you're not really experiencing it deeply enough to have the empathy.
Yeah. Well, I like how Alfredo brought it back to the stubbing your toe effect of having to understand where your partner's coming from in terms of, like, oh, they didn't talk to me today, they hate me. It could just be they're having their own experience separate from mine, and I have to think from their perspective, like, maybe they're more of an anxious person than I am. Maybe this little ordeal that would have just been a little blip in my day, I wouldn't think about a week later, they're, like, having a moment over it. They have to relax and come down from that. So that's huge for them. So understanding, like, having empathy and understanding is huge. I just like how you circle back to that initial idea.
I don't know, I see Irene have so many notes, so...
Yeah, what is Irene thinking?
What's going on in your brain?
I just kind of was listening, and I kind of just wrote down that maybe empathy is more, like, physical and emotional. Maybe you could kind of... You can feel their sadness, like, you actually feel sad for this person. Mm-hmm. Sympathy, it's more vocal, it's just saying it's the right thing to do, saying you're sorry, you know, it's not so emotional in your head. And I like that empathy, Alfredo, you described it as, like, putting it yourself in somebody else's shoes. Like, yeah, maybe you see someone in public doing something, but you could have totally misinterpreted it, or maybe you could have made that same mistake the other day. Nobody was there to judge your mistake, but somebody today makes the same mistake you did, but you're going to judge them, and you forget you did the same exact thing the other day. So before you judge a situation, you could use empathy to say, do I really need to react this way, or could I have done the same thing like another day?
So is empathy something that only is required when somebody's going through a struggle?
No.
So is empathy something like, I think you were mentioning something that like in today's atmosphere, and I think there is an atmosphere where people are like at odds with one another more so than they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And part of something that I try to remember is like everyone's opinion or their thoughts are based upon all their experiences up to that point in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think I just read something about like if somebody says something, they believe it's true. And mm-hmm. something that you believe is the truth and that you state doesn't actually necessarily mean it is true. It's just you feel it's true.
It's your truth.
My truth. Mm-hmm. So I think mm-hmm. that I think that's where you were going a little bit with when you're saying how things are. But maybe that's how I read into it, because that's how I was thinking.
Yes.
Pretty much
what I was trying to say. It's that like we are exposed to so many people, so many different faces, so much information, that like so many different things that like it's hard to like try to create a full emotional connection with a person 5008 in YouTube. It's hard to create that connection with the friend of a friend of a friend that you saw on Facebook that they made three comments and a picture.
Okay.
Like,
yep.
Because it's just so many people. There is just like so, you just can't keep track with full emotional connections of thousands of people. Like, it's literally impossible.
But you can have connection with face-to-face person, mm-hmm. okay? And also, this is an interesting point about how much you are awake and awareness, so have really good and deep conversation, because you can stay here and they hear you, move your head, but you in your mind, I forget turner off the oven. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe I have to do the laundry in this afternoon. So all this in your mind when you talk make a lady that you really lose your empathy in yourself. And then you cannot bring to others. So be aware when you talk and have a connection, because we talk about connection is a key word for this. Yeah.
So is the extreme diversity in, I'm say diversity, but maybe that's the wrong thing. The overwhelming number of connections that we now have, that we don't only deal with the people in our household, our neighborhood, but now it's everywhere, all the time, mm-hmm. Work, somebody in a different country, mm-hmm. somebody in a different city, somebody of a different religion, somebody of a different height, you know, that we're dealing with more and more people, and that we lose a lot of the similarities we have with anybody, mm-hmm. and that's a negative, but the benefit is we get to experience, potentially, if we have better connections, more experiences than we would have ever had the chance to have done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how about, let me go back to our title of the show. So how about, what kind of tool we can share with people about set the goal in the relationship? Because some people feel scared about, my goal is different than your goal, so maybe I have to walk in one way and not with you, with like that. So what do you think, baby?
What do I think? you I think, again, during the break, we were talking about how do our goals need to change when we meet someone? Do our goals need to change when we commit to being with someone? Or do we have better chance at succeeding at our goals with a person who we truly connect with? So for you, mm-hmm. You were saying how people are telling you that, why don't you tell your story? Your story about your business success, and then should you divert part of your effort, part of your energies into a relationship?
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the moment when you know what you want. Because maybe some people thinking know what you want. And then start to have relationship. But if you don't know, you start to sabotage the relationship because you believe, oh no, this is my job or this is my dream. So I cannot do my goal in my life because I have to marry a guy.
Mm.
So this kind of program is something that most people have. And then you start to be scared to talking face to face and say, hey, I feel that my goal is different than yours. But in the other way, avoid the topic and start sabotage your relationship because you don't have the capacity to be honest and say, hey, I'm working in this way and you work a different way. So Alfredo, what do you think about that? About set the goal. So you feel that you can change your goal because you lost somebody, or how you in the case the goal is different?
It depends. It's a case-by-case basis of like what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
Are their goals aligned in a similar way that they can meet, or are they different goals in life? And like sometimes, like if you think the other person has a good goal and you want to support them, like I think it's okay if you want to maybe change your goal to something that aligns with their life more, if that's what makes you happy. But you shouldn't really change anything about your life to make somebody else happy. They should be, it's a mutual partnership. So like, you should be like helping each other out, but like you don't really have to change the other person. Like if you're going out with them, it's because you like them for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't go in and like try to change them to be a different person just because you don't like who they are. That's not how people work.
Yeah. Good point. So
any thoughts at this other side of the table here?
The audience.
I
mean, pretty much agree. I think compromises are always welcome as long as you're communicating. I just think sacrifice to a certain degree. You can always sacrifice things as long as it is beneficial to you in a different way. Like, I think I was watching a show recently and they were saying, there is no sacrifice, you made a choice. You could have chosen the other thing. It's not like you lost anything. You made this choice to have this life. It may be different, but you're still going towards a common goal. You made the choice to just do something else. Just take a different path. So as long as it's not making you unhappy, or you're doing too much give and the other person in the relationship is just taking it all from you, I don't think there are any issues. But once you start to lose yourself, that's really the only time you need to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I would like to add an example for that. So I love going to school, and I also love to have a stable relationship, and spending time with my partner is important. So instead of living at a dorm right on campus, I'd rather stay in an apartment with my partner, even though the commute is an hour, which is quite a bit, but it's not too long to make me want to stay on the campus. Like, if you love someone enough and it's only a little give and take and it's not going to be the end of the world for you to do it, why not? Like, you can listen to your favorite podcasts.
I like that. She's coming back.
You can just listen to your favorite music in the car. You need to learn how to make things enjoyable.
Adapt.
For yourself and adapt. I do like what you said about sacrifices. Sometimes they are important in relationships, even though it's not necessarily a severe sacrifice. It could just be something very simple.
So, and I think the difference between sacrifice? What's a sacrifice?
It's like, a boy that you sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk like that anymore. What can I say?
That's what Ariel did in the movie. She sacrificed.
A sacrifice.
Yeah.
She couldn't speak? Is that what happened?
She lost her voice. She sacrificed.
Okay. We're not big Disney fans around here.
Me neither.
It's a joke. I'm sorry. Disney, if you're still going to support us. Disney, don't
please. So sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Choice versus sacrifice. Maybe it's a sacra choice that you are making a choice. And sacra being like sacred choice is that you when you look at it, rather than being sacrificing something because you're going in this direction, it is a choice that you build upon that you can now have something maybe even stronger.
Yeah.
And when Lizette and I first met, and I said, I am who I am, I'm not changing.
Yeah.
And since then, we've written books, gone to school, studied, we've moved, we've built things together. And then you look at your brain and things that you've taken on yourself over the years. You always are learning something. And when you choose what it is that you want to learn, is it a sacrifice or is it, it's a choice? And when you commit to that choice, does it build something better?
It can.
Yes. So any last words from our family crew here in either goals or empathy? Any ideas, any thoughts, any closing? Like if you were to say what one person should focus on to be more empathetic, what should that one thing be?
Start practicing understanding others. That was a huge thing Alfredo hit on, was just it's so hard to have a close connection with everybody. Like, you're never gonna actually understand everybody all the time. Yeah. But to have an open mind, this is, not to get into a whole spiel, but this is something I've been actively practicing for probably the past 5 years, is when I start to have negative thoughts about a stranger or someone I'm just walking by, I'll have a negative thought and I catch myself in the moment and go, let's rewrite this. Let's rewrite this history. Why is their perspective different from mine? Why would they be doing it this way? How is their culture different from mine? And just, I try to consider that all the time now. It's just reframing your thinking, because we tend to make snap judgments. And I mean, that applies to general life, but also in relationships. So, which we've talked about. I'm not going to beat a horse, but yeah.
I can give another example that I have seen in real life with other people, but a lot of times it's to really be empathetic when understanding another person. It's not about you. It's about the other person and how they're feeling. So one of my friends, like, he went through a breakup, and a big thing of he kept asking me was, why did she do this to me? Why did she do that? Why me? And it's like, look, it's not you. It's like, you gotta understand, like, some people are just not in a good place to, like, have a relationship or, like, to do things. So, like, it, a lot of times it's not even you. It's like the other person having stuff in their mind that they're going through, that, like, you have to understand that, like, yeah, it may have gone bad for you, but, like, it may not even be your fault. You may have been part of that, and it, with all relationships, it can get complicated, but a lot of times there may be a deep root cause that, like, you're not aware of or you don't understand, that, like, to have some empathy, like, just be easier on yourself when you feel like you're getting judged by others, because that judgment may come from a completely different place that is not related to you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. No. Any thoughts on that side of the table?
I liked what you said about being easier on yourself. I think maybe having good thoughts with yourself is how you have good thoughts about others. As well as one piece of advice, a little small advice, is just be careful how much social media you consume. That can affect your judgment onto others, because it also affects the judgment onto yourself sometimes. But yeah, just choose what you want to learn.
And somewhere in there, somebody had said over the last couple of minutes here something about being selfless and not putting yourself into the equation, but really focusing on the other person. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Yeah. With that, we're going to end this segment. We're going to be right back with more 90 Day Soulmate after this message.
You're listening to 90.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Irene.
And Jessica.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Irene.
And Jessica.
And Alfredo. Welcome back here to the show where we talk about goals today and empathy. Mm-hmm. Not just write people off with a sympathy card, but try to connect with them with your heart with an empathy card.
Yes, because we want to maybe summary what is the topic today. So we can start with Jessica. Wow. What is your final thought to close the show?
So there was mention of maybe not understanding why someone has done something to you, right? And I think it's important to become comfortable with yourself and who you are so that you don't necessarily take on the brunt of other people's emotions, because you may never understand what someone else is going through, the reasons why they did something to you or to somebody else, or why they're acting a certain way. So it's just going to have to be a practice of accepting that they've made this decision and you can't change it.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be complicated.
Yeah. And it might hurt, and you can accept that and feel the emotions. Like, don't drown out your emotions, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's it. And Irene, what did you...
I totally agree with that. Most of the time, I just say it is what it is. You don't need to... I don't need to add more to that. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you can try to perfect something so much just to the point where you just make yourself aggravated. So why not just, like, give yourself time to be patient with yourself and, you know, just take more of the small moments to enjoy instead of being like, wow, I put this fork in the wrong place on the table. It's the end of my life. I don't know. It's just like.
It's the end of my knife. No.
It's the end of your knife. Wait, no. You put the knife off the table.
Off the table.
End of your knife. That's basically all I can think about right now. I just fully agree with that.
So is it like not escalating your own mind an issue where you don't need to?
Right. Don't. Even if it's just for a second, you could just be patient for two more seconds just to move the chair where you want it to, instead of being like, the chair is terrible there. It's okay.
Well, where did this come from? So I'm like,
God. This is a real example. She's
been a real example. Familiar. So.
And any last words that you'd like to share?
No, I shared already my last words, because I wanted to share everything I wanted to share.
Okay, good.
Well, and we just have to accept that.
Yeah, no, accept it
say
now.
Why. Don't need to ask why. Yeah, no it's why, no why, no both.
Oh my, oh my.
Yeah, but the point, the empathy, and also when Irene talk, I feel compassion, but a compassion with yourself before others, because maybe we really
are harsh on ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
I actually do have some last words. If you want to have a good, happy relationship, you have to be happy with yourself.
There you go.
Okay.
This is the first exercise.
Which if you've ever heard that other thing, if you want to love someone, you have to love yourself first.
Mm-hmm. I do disagree with that. Hear me out.
It's an other program.
You're wrong.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time.
No, I won't expand too much, but I've always heard that. And to me, it's, you don't have to like absolutely be obsessed with the person you are, but at least to acknowledge, like, I'm trying my best. I'm doing the best I can. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're struggling. Because I think sometimes people hear that and they think, like, oh, if I have depression or if I'm struggling, I don't deserve to have a partner. So I like to kind of make sure it's confirmed and reworded. Like, you can have your problems. You don't have to have it all together necessarily, but to actively...
You don't have to be perfected.
I've always
felt the same way about that phrase. Yeah. It's just like... Maybe not before you are in a relationship, love yourself, but accept yourself, accept your flaws, and accept the good parts of yourself. Know that you have flaws, maybe you do need to work on them, but accept that before you have a partner, so you can mm-hmm. understand yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like could another way to rephrase it would be like, make sure you're able to be okay by yourself before yeah. you can yes. share your life with somebody else.
Or
not good, not perfect, okay.
Next like, episode, codependence and why it's bad.
A 90-day soulmate.
A 90-day soulmate.
And yes.
Yeah, that's that you're really emphasizing. Yeah. Right?
Oh my God.
I feel like Lizette now.
She empathized a little too close to the sun.
Oh my God, I can't see up close.
Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Alfredo, Lizette, Jessica, and
Irene.
Until next week.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.